I do, yes. I can do a recitation. I can do a recitation in Ulster Scots dialect, one which I'm asked to do fairly often when I'll be attending any of these seminars. That I'm endeavouring to keep the Ulster Scots alive.
Well, have you used to speak more Ulster Scots than you do now, or have you changed your way of speaking?
Not much. And if I got into a bad temper, it would be Ulster Scots yet. I wouldn't look down on a man because he spoke Ulster Scots. No way. Because I could have referred you to men that spoke nothing only the Ulster Scots, and they could buy and sell me, or maybe you either. So we didn't look down on them.
Oh, of course not.
No.
There's nothing to be ashamed
no.
of.
No. Well, I'll tell you a story now before I do the recitation.
Right.
About that Ulster Scots, and about a man that used it as his native tongue. It was Joe Glenn. And down below where I live here, there was two brothers who ran a blacksmith's forge. They were McLaughlins. And there were Josie and Paddy. Now, Josie was the brains of the outfit, but Paddy was the brawn. Now, when the brains were given out, Paddy would have been behind the door. But his contribution to the business was just as important as what the other man's was. Although he never was a blacksmith. He never was really a blacksmith, but he invariably referred to himself as a blacksmith. Whenever we knew that if you went to the forge someday and Josie wasn't there, Paddy couldn't have made you an essuk, but he would have burned the two ends of it. But he still referred to himself as a blacksmith. But these two men now, neither the two of them would have suffered fools gladly. They took life very seriously. And if you made a joke, if they thought by any manner or means that you were getting at them some way, they would have put you out. They were thick-watered. But anyway, they were men for whom I had the utmost respect now, the both of them. Because I respected them whenever they were living. But whenever they died and there was nobody else to take over the business, and I tried to do some of the jobs that they'd done, that they were able to make look very simple, it was only then that I realised the skill that these men had. But anyway, to tell you a story about Mr. Glenn, one day I was down on a horse with me and my father's getting shot. It was a wet day, and on a wet day, the people all gathered into the forge. Farmers had wee jobs to do, and they didn't want to spend the time. They came a wet day, and a wet day they were all there. So this day there were 7 or 8 people there. And the horse took precedence over any other work that was been done. So they were shooting the horse. And this Glenn man came in. Now, nobody ever could understand why Glenn seemed to have a license that he could say whatever he liked to either of these two men. He was the only man who could say it and get away with it. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that he was the best farmer in the county. Joe Glenn was one of the best farmers in the county. He was a model man. But anyway, he came in and the horse had been shod and they had a sock with him off a drill plough. Now, possibly you people would know what a sock of a drill plough looked like. In those days, you didn't screw off a worn part and throw it away. You took it off and you took it to the forge and the smith put a bit onto it and left it as good as new. So Glenn came down with a sock of a drill plough and he threw it on the floor, and Paddy was at a loose end. There was a shoe in the fire heating and Paddy was leaning on the sledge, and he went over and he turned this sock over with his toe. Now farmers had a very bad habit of keeping them on the plough too long, and they were worn too short before they took them to the forge. But this sock, Paddy went over and turned it over with his toe, and he said, "My bonny boys," he says, "we could have made a good job of that if I'd have got her 2 or 3 days ago," meaning that she was worn too short. And everybody's waiting to Glenn would turn on Paddy, because Glenn was very bad tongued. But he never let on, he never took Paddy under his notice. And the shoe came out of the fire and Paddy fell at it with a sledge and countersunk it and punched the holes in it and threw the nails. And I was ready to go. But before I was ready to go, Glenn addressed the assembled audience. And he said, "Boys," he said, "I had a wild dream last night." He said, "I dreamt I was dead. And went a while up to heaven to look about getting them. And I found myself gone up this big long narrow avenue with a lot of bushes on the both sides of it. And I walked on till I come to the Golden Gate. And things was a kind of quiet, there wasn't money about. And I decided I would hang about a while before I made my approach. And I had on the back of a laurel bush. And he begot, I was no time had on the back of this bush to hook him hurtling up with Josie. Now, Josie had a bad way of walking, but by God, anybody else had referred to it, and they were out the door. Hook him hurtling up with Josie. Josie went up with his boiler's breast, and he rattled at the gate, and Peter came out, and asked him his name. And he said they were Josie McLaughlin, the island inch in the county of Donegal. Peter nodded his head, and they said, what trade or profession did you follow whenever you were on earth? And Josie said, I was a blacksmith. Ah, Peter shook his head and he said, no, he says, no. He said, I'm sorry, but I don't make the rules here, I'm only here to apply them. And the rule I was, there are no blacksmiths allowed on here. And with that, he closed the gate and poor Josie. And Josie had to turn and walk away with his head among his feet. But because Josie went no distance, he had on the back of a bush, just fair for an inch where I was. And he was no time had to hook him up with Paddy. And Paddy went up his boiler's breast, and he knocked at the gate. He rattled at the gate, and Peter came out, and asked him his name. And he said it was Paddy McLaughlin, the island inch in the county of Donegal, and Peter nodded his head. And he says to Paddy, he says, what trade or profession did you follow whenever you were on earth? And of course, Paddy said, I was a blacksmith. Even the distance I was away from Peter, I thought I could see a wee smile in his face. And with that, he opened the gate, and then went Paddy. And with that, Josie came out to the back of this bush, and I'm calling out, I'm out loud and eager to Peter. How long there? How long a minute, sir? How long a wee minute? I thought you told me there were no blacksmiths allowed in there. And Peter, he just looked Josie straight in the face and he said, I know, Josie, he says. You know, and I know, and God in the world knows Paddy never was a blacksmith.